I'm going to read from Bhanu Swami Maharaj's translation of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, a section describing the qualities of Krishna. I already read through part of this previously, so it'll be, for you it'll be starting in the middle. But Krishna is all sweet, so whether we start in the middle or the end, or it's all sweet. Prabhupada said that about Chaitanya Charitamrita, devotees ask Srila Prabhupada about reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, should it be from the beginning, as is the system Srila Prabhupada stressed, should be followed for reading Srimad Bhagavatam. One should begin at the beginning and go through. But Prabhupada said that Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can start anywhere, it's all sweet. So, wherever you go, it's sweet. So the qualities of Krishna are all sweet. Krishna is all sweet. Later, we plan to read the sweet Ashtakam, Madhur Ashtakam. The eight prayers describing the sweetness of Krishna. Krishna's own sweetness. What's that in Chaitanya Charitamrita? Madhurja Bhagavata Sa. The essence of God's godness is his sweetness, not his greatness, according to Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. Others may think differently. Others will, mostly everyone will emphasize his power, his glory, his majesty, his opulence. But as far as the residents of Vrindavan are concerned, and the Gauriya Vaishnavas, they aspire for residents in Vrindavan to serve the residents of Vrindavan. As far as they are concerned, the essence of God's godness is his sweetness. In fact, there's so much enamored by his sweetness that they're not really interested in his godness at all. And Balabhacharya also, the Sampradaya is rooted in Braja Dham. So that's the abode of sweetness. So he's composed this song, which we'll sing a little later. We'll discuss some of these qualities. Reading, yeah, this is this system of reading with a little commentary, you might find it difficult to follow. Not difficult to follow, but difficult to keep attention on, because usually if someone speaks extemporaneously or whatever, it's more interesting, it seems to us. But that's one system of speaking. It's called pravachan, giving a speech. That's what we usually have in our classes. But more common than that in traditional Indian society is what we're about to do now, which is called pat, which means reading from a shastra with a little explanation here and there. This system was the system by which people who couldn't read, which means most of the population, would learn Shastra, especially the Puranas would be explained to the Stri, Shudra, Dvija Bandhu, those who are not qualified for the Vedas. So they would hear from the Brahmanas who would explain it, and in this way they would get to understand what the subject matter of Shastra is. And even prevenient to that, the system was that just there was no written, Shastra was not written. Actually, it was considered considered wrong to write down the Veda, because it's supposed to be transmitted by the oral system. Anyway, I will read some of the qualities of Krishna with the comments, or I may not read exactly the comments of Jiva Goswami and occasional comments, and even more occasional comments of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, so that we can appreciate this person, Krishna, who is the origin of all persons and origin of everything, who is the center of everything, the meaning of everything, who gives meaning to everything, without whom there is no meaning, who is the life of our lives, who we have been fortunate enough to be introduced to by Srila Prabhupada, so that we can redevelop our forgotten relationship with him. The relationship with him means we should know who he is. What kind of a person is he? Why would you want to have a relationship with him? Why? Not only a relationship, but where bhakti means complete absorption. Ananyas cheta satatam. Constant absorption in Krishna without diversion to anything else. So, is it really worth getting so much in love with him? Well, the answer is yes. And why? Well, let's hear about it. Not fully, it's not possible to fully describe the glories of Krishna. But to some extent, as the acharyas have done, Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, we're very fortunate to have this book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He has collected from so many shastras, studied so many shastras, to extract the relevant points about Krishna. For us, it's very easy now. We have this book, and we can read it, we can hear it. But how much research went into making this book? Reading so many shastras, and then, oh, that's a good point, okay, let's take that up, and then putting it all together in a systematic way. So it's a great work which should be distributed very widely. People who are not interested to know about God, but if they learn who is Krishna from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, they will get a better idea. Or those who are interested but don't have information, they should become very happy to study Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Christians in this country, still there are some people who are serious about being Christians. There are still such people. There used to be many more. I mean, they're actually concerned with praying to God, and I presume they must be. I haven't met any myself, but presumably there are some people. You do meet them. You're out on book distribution, you know there are people who you meet who are actually, they're serious about their Christianity. So if they get a description of who actually God is, then they, if they're actually sincere, then they should become very happy to get this information. I was told that in Italy, the devotees, when they're distributing books, they used to go in the village, first of all, to the priest, because he would like to buy the books. It means it's somewhat serious to understand. So, let's hear about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything's in that title. The summary of Krishna's Krishna-ness, of him being Krishna, is there in the title. Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the Supreme Lord, he's the origin of all, but also he's not just a Godhead, not just a position, but his personality. What is his personality? Let's hear about some of the facets of his personality that make as what is that? The gopis describe it. People, they were blaming Krishna. That people, when they hear about you, they just become crazy. They leave their homes and they run and live in Vrindavan, and they become mad. You drive people crazy. So it's an indirect praise by blaming Krishna. People, so many generations of people have become mad after Krishna. Why? Well, here again, at some point I'm going to actually start reading this. Stop reading a lecture. Here's quality 31 of 64, principal qualities of Krishna, enunciated by Rupa Goswami. Shuraha, he is a hero. Atra Shura Maheshvasa, we have that word in Bhagavad Gita. Here are many heroic bowmen. Now, Krishna is a hero. What is the definition? This Rupa Goswami, he gives the quality and then he defines that quality. So Krishna is heroic. And what is the definition of a hero? Rupa Goswami says, he gives two facets of heroism. Heroism means particularly here in fighting. There are different kinds of heroes. There's Karmavir, Danavir, hero of work, hero of charity, philanthropist. So, hero in fighting is one who is energetic, Ramaswami has translated, utsahi, usual translation, enthusiastic. He's very enthusiastic. He doesn't, when there's a fight, he doesn't become wobbly-kneed. You know what that means? Wobbly-kneed, it means you're legs start trembling. But he becomes, Rali becomes very firm. Yes, it's fight, good, let's go. Heroic spirit. He's enthusiastic to fight. And astrapayoge vichakshanaha. He's very expert in using weapons. So it's good not just to feel enthusiastic, but to be good in fighting also. One should be expert and enthusiastic. So an example given by Rupa Goswami of enthusiasm in fighting. He quotes, this is Rupa Goswami's system. He'll give a quality of Krishna, and then define it, and then give examples from Shastra to illustrate it. Of course, there may be many examples, but he just usually gives one or two. So, enthusiasm in fighting, Krishna is addressed as destroyer of Agha, the demon Agha, destroyer of sin. Agha means the demon called Agha, and Agha also means sin. So he's both the destroyer of the demon Agha and the destroyer of sin. What a name! That was the name of his name was Agha, means sin. Imagine giving someone the name sin like that. Just like in Chennai, that chief minister gave his son the name Stalin, and another one Hitler. So, why? What kind of name is that? It means they want their children to be sinful, nasty, and mean. So Krishna is the destroyer of all sinfulness, nastiness, and meanness. There's no such thing in Krishna. There's no trace of any sin or nastiness or meanness in Krishna. Krishna is only nice. Only sweet. So Krishna is distressed as the destroyer of Agha. Many of these verses that Rupa Goswami quotes, that it's highly allegorical language. So this verse that we're reading is highly allegorical. With your trembling trunk-like arms, trembling here means not trembling out of fright, moving. This, you can imagine, fighting, his arm is moving. He submerged himself in the lake of the battlefield, the expansive battlefield. So the battlefield is compared to a lake. Krishna has immersed himself in that, and he's playing in the forest of lotuses, just like an elephant, a great elephant enters a lake and plays in the lake. How? By dispersing all the lotus flowers. He'll, just by his movements in the lake, while he's playing in the lake, all the lotuses will be scattered. So in the same way, Krishna, his heroism is described when he enters a battlefield. For him it's like a play. He scatters all the enemies, just like an elephant in a lake scatters all the lotuses. Then, an example of being expert in handling weapons. In a second, kshana, just a moment, less than a second, the huge army of Jarasandha was destroyed by the arrows of Krishna, just in the nectar of devotion. Srila Prabhupada's rendering of this, he gives the definition of an akshohini, which I don't remember offhand. It's a lot of soldiers, and Krishna just appeared on the battlefield and with his bow and arrow just finished them all off quickly. Instantly. So Srila Prabhupada said this is unparalleled in the history of the military art. There's no one who can do it except Krishna. Which is why we're reading about Krishna. We're not reading about Hitler or Stalin or anyone else. They may be very great heroes in the worldly sense, but they are completely insignificant in comparison to Krishna. Now, the next quality, which might appear to be contradictory to the quality of being a great hero, killing enemies in the battlefield, the next quality mentioned is Karuna. That's a well-known word. What does Karuna mean? Mercy. So exactly, mercy, compassion. So that's defined by Rupa Goswami as one who cannot tolerate the suffering of others. And the previous description was one Krishna gives suffering to others by killing them in the battlefield. But who does Krishna kill? He's not a Hitler or a Stalin who kills maliciously, but he kills the demons who give suffering to his devotees. So in this way, Krishna is, he cannot tolerate the suffering of his particular devotees. And even the non-devotees, when he kills them, actually they're also suffering by being, by their very attitude of being inimical to others. So Krishna very kindly benefits them by killing them. So an example of Karuna, compassion. Krishna is addressed by Bhishma. When Bhishma was preparing to die, Bhishma, speaking about Krishna, says that Krishna, I offer my respects to him, he is the compassionate son of the Yadus, who, here he's referring to the kings who were imprisoned by Jarasandha. Jarasandha was collecting kings, and he wanted to make a massive sacrifice of kings. to Bhairav, Mahabhairav, Lord Shiva. So Krishna released them all. Like the sun, he made all the king's eyes blossom with joy. These kings had become blinded with their eyes. They were imprisoned by Jarasandha in dark caves. So anyway, they couldn't see. But Bhishma says that they couldn't see because they're blinded with tears arising from suffering. But Krishna, Krishna is like the sun. So he made their eyes blossom with joy by releasing them all. Another example, referring to Bhishma, Krishna's relation. This verse we just read was spoken by Bhishma. And now there's one spoken about Krishna's relationship with Bhishma, how Bhishma, Krishna was compassionate to Bhishma. Bhishma means terrible. He was called terrible not because of his fighting skill, that was also terrible, but because of his vow. He was considered a great vow for a prince, kshatriya, such energy to vow to be a brahmachari. He was considered a great vow. So, Krishna, being compassionate to Bhishma, appeared before Bhishma, who was lying on a bed of arrows. Bhishma had chosen to lie down on a bed of arrows. He went toward Bhishma, forgetting that Krishna is God. Krishna not even considering that I am the Supreme Lord. He just thought of Bhishma as my very beloved friend or relation. And Krishna, with his body showered in his own tears, rushed towards Krishna. So this is an example of Krishna's compassion. His compassion, his feelings for his devotees, they're more than his, to himself, it's more than his godliness. Krishna is God, that's his position. He's the Supreme Lord. In his person, he's the most kind. So Krishna, while being God, he never forgets his kindness. It's not that he forgets to be kind because he's God, but out of his kindness or out of his compassion to his devotees, he forgets that he's God. So that proves that the personality of Krishna or his qualities, his personal qualities, they are more powerful than his position as the Supreme. So, the next quality is given, number 33. One who is very respectful. Even though he's the Supreme, he's very respectful. Specifically to Guru, Brahmanas, elderly persons, and all other worshipable persons. So an example of this is that the context is not given, but it's described how abhivadanam, which is a formal system of offering respect within Vedic culture. One has to bow down, fold his hands, and give one's identity. So he offered first of all to his guru. Krishna offered respect at the lotus feet of his guru, then to his father and his elder brother. The elder brother is considered as good as the father, practically. Then with folded hands and words, he offered respects to the elders of the Yadu dynasty in proper order. Pramadayam. One should know the proper order. Yatha vidhi yatho chit. These words appear in regard to offering respect to others according to the proper system and as is suitable. One yatho chit, yatha uchit, as is suitable. So one should offer respects to one's guru and then to other seniors, and with one who's of equal status, then they'll be embracing, and maybe among kshatriyas we find Krishna and Arjuna. Just yes, the example is Krishna, when he'd meet with the Pandavas, he'd offer respects to, especially to Yudhishthira Maharaj, also to Bhim, who was a little older than Krishna. With Arjuna, he was a very intimate relationship as friends, as they were of the same age, and he would accept respect from Nakul and Sahadev. So the next quality mentioned is compliance, the word is mildness. One who means someone, he's not only respectful to elders, but he's not only showing respect by bowing down, but he's also prepared to accept what they say and do what they say. So due to Krishna, one who due to his excellent nature is very mild in his behavior is called compliant by the intelligent. So one may be... We actually often see this, even today in India, in dealings with people, that towards a senior, they'll be very mild and obedient and respectful. But then sometimes what juniors, they're very heavy and they don't treat them so nicely. But they know they should treat seniors nicely, but then they think, well, I'm senior to someone else. But one should be respectful to seniors, and although one may be strong in dealings with juniors, maybe, but affection is the usual mode of interaction. So, an example of Krishna's mildness in his dealings. This is toward his devotees. Krishna, who is pure-hearted by his very nature, because he's pure-hearted, he does not consider even serious offenses by his servant. How is that? Well, because Krishna considers that if someone's a surrendered servant, he cannot actually make an offense, even if he does something seriously wrong, because his attitude is one of surrender. He's dedicated his life to serving Krishna. So even if he does something seriously wrong, Krishna doesn't take it as an offense. He thinks he doesn't take it in the same way as a demoniac person who's deliberately trying to give trouble to Krishna. You see, a servant can also give trouble to the master. He's in a very good position to give trouble because he knows all the intimate dealings. The master depends upon him for various services, so servants can really mess up things. But if they do, that is forgiven by a good master, because he knows that even if he makes a mistake, the servant wants to serve. Whereas someone who deliberately, out of envy, makes things difficult for someone else, well, that's a different case altogether. So, he also accepts someone of mild character, of good character, pure character. He accepts, even if someone does a little service, he accepts that as very great. He doesn't find fault even in those of low character. So we see this in Srila Prabhupada. It was a very prominent feature of him, that his disciples who were trying to serve him and made so many blunders, Prabhupada accepted them and just, all right, they're trying to do some service. He'd always try to encourage them. So, naloy aparad, apu seva, bahumane, I can't remember, it's mentioned in Bengali in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the same point, that he doesn't take offenses, but alpa seva bahumane artha prajamato prasad. But even if a little service is there, Krishna thinks of it as very great and is willing to give himself. He's so merciful to the devotee that even a little service rendered, he is willing to give himself to the devotee. So the statement we just read from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is, Jiva Goswami says that this is in a letter of Uddhava to Akrura, after he, Akrura, stole the Siamantak jewel and went to Kashi. So, Vinayi means modest or humble. That's a common word. In most of these words, they're common words in Indian languages even today. That's a common name for men. Vinayi. You know any Vinayis? You've mostly been in South Europe. You know also?
We call it Vinay.
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 They have Bengali version. Binoy. Binoy, yeah, that would be the Bengali. Binoy Krishna. Goswami was a famous guru. Or Vinit is a similar name. Common names. So it means one who's... It's more or less a synonym of humble. So one, Rupa Goswami defines it, one who is devoid of arrogance is called modest. So it's a definition by negation. It's not specifically humility, but it's lack of arrogance. Arrogance is a prominent quality of the demons. Dambho, darpo, vimanascha, krodha, parusham, evacha. Agyana chabhijatasya partha sampadim asuri. Lord Krishna introducing the topic of the qualities of demons. He first of all says that they are dambha, dapa, darpa, abhiman. These are all very similar terms. Pride, conceit, arrogance. Then the other qualities, krodha, anger. Parusha, nastiness, ignorance, these are qualities, born, inborn, those of demoniac nature. Person who is not arrogant is called modest. So Krishna has all reason to be arrogant, you could say, because usually people are arrogant when they're a little bit above someone in something. If someone becomes better than someone, than other people, the tendency is to become arrogant. Whatever it is, you may be the best in flipping marbles. You know that? Marbles, children, little children play with little round balls. Something just insignificant. we see, one devotee was telling me his cousin, or his nephew was a footballer, supposed to be, this was 15, 20 years ago, he told me he was called the best footballer in the world. No, goalkeeper. Well, that's right, goalkeeper. And he said that now he's so arrogant because he's better at jumping this way and jumping that way and catching a ball. And yeah, they get a lot of money for that. So he had become very gone to his head. In English we say it has gone to his pride has gone to his head. But someone who remains humble, despite having so many qualities, that's a very appreciable quality. So Krishna, he has every reason to be arrogant, because everything he does better than everyone else. And even if anyone can do anything good, it's only because they get ability from Krishna. But he's not arrogant. He remains devoid of pride. Arrogance means not just pride, but it means just asserting one's greatness at catching balls or kicking balls or whatever it may be. There are so many things. And then there's a song. Oh, now something came in my mind after so many years. This song is maybe from the early 1960s. Anything you can do, I can do better. It's from the 1950s. Anything you can do, I can do better. Well, that's true of Krishna. But still, he's not proud. Doesn't go around asserting, I'm the best. Only in Bhagavad Gita, he tells Arjuna, just for the sake of helping Arjuna. He tells Arjuna, well, actually, aham sarvasya prabhu, everything comes from me. If anyone else says that, you think they're a madman. Someone walks in the town. There was an example, Ravindra Sarup Prabhu told many years ago. He was the temple president in Philadelphia, still is. And he's the GBC now. So one man came into the temple and he was looking around and it looked like he liked everything very much, looking very appreciatively. And then he asked, well, who's in charge here? And they directed him to Ravindra Sarup Prabhu. And he said, thank you for worshipping me so nicely. He thought he was God. He thought the devotees were worshipping him. Of course, many devotees might have responded by worshipping him at that point with a punch in the face. I don't think Ravindra Sarup Prabhu did that. Anyway, Krishna actually is God. We see that I've seen Mayavadi Guru. Huge, I mean, definitely was well overweight, being carried in a palanquin. This was at Sri Sailam, this is about 20 years ago. Sri Sailam in Andhra Pradesh, Shiva temple, way up in the jungle, in the mountains. So he was being carried on a palanquin and he had around about 30 people from a village, obviously village, very poor people, they're all jumping around him, they're all very enthusiastic about him, and he was just sitting on the palanquin, looking so puffed up, because he had a bunch of village people worshipping him. But Krishna, he has the whole universe worshipping him. Yam Brahma, Varanendra, Rudra, Marutai, Stundanti, Divai, Stivai, even the great demigods, they worship Krishna. He's unaffected. An example from Marga Kavya. This Rupa Goswami is quoting from they're the Kavyas. They're poetic works, epics, written by scholars. Poets, based on themes from the Shastra. So there are various, just like Raghu Vamsha. Magaka, the description of Krishna. Krishna saw that Yudhishthira was on his chariot, and Krishna was on his chariot, and then they saw each other. And Yudhishthira, his immediate reaction was he wanted to jump down from his chariot and run to Krishna. But seeing this, Krishna thinking that Yudhishthira is superior to me, Krishna more quickly than Yudhishthira got down and ran towards Yudhishthira. He didn't want to show, I'm so great. He's thinking, Yudhishthira is my senior, I have to offer him respect. Then, Hri means shyness. Shyness, you got that one? You thinking of the word?
Yeah,
it must be a word. It's a common. Except maybe the demons, they don't have a word in their language. If it's a completely demoniac culture, there may be not such any word. I hope there's a word in your language for shyness. A person is called bashful. It's a synonym of. It's very similar to shyness. When others praise him, and instead of becoming arrogant and proud and thinking, oh yeah, that's right, that's true what they're saying about me, he becomes embarrassed and wants to withdraw himself. Or another kind of bashfulness is when this is more like embarrassment. When he thinks that others have become cognizant of his secret love affairs. An example is, it's coming up. This is called modesty. You don't want everyone to know about it. Krishna has his secret love affairs. He doesn't go boasting to others that, you see, I got this girl and that girl. Krishna's greatest lover. He's captured the hearts of all the girls of Vrindavan. He doesn't go around boasting. It's secret. So due to his unfathomable nature, Krishna and shyly. The example given in Lalita Madhava, which is also composed by Rupa Goswami, he's quoting from his own work. All glories to the enemy of Madhava. So he's a very powerful person who, what happened? He was holding Govardhan Hill, and as he was holding it very steadily, everyone's feeling very safe. All of a sudden, Govardhan Hill started shaking a bit. Why is that? Because Krishna was shaking a little bit. And why is that? Because anyway, it's what's written here, I'll just read it. That he was glancing upon the gopis' upraised breasts. And he thought, and then he looked, he remembered, whoops, I'm standing in front of everyone in Vrindavan here, they might see me looking at the gopis' breasts. So then he looked, took his eyes off and he saw Balaram smiling, and he thought Balaram's smiling because he caught me looking at the gopis. In the meantime, the cowherd men are praising him, that, oh, he's saving us. So he was shy on both accounts. He didn't like He was shy at being praised by the cowherd men, and he was shy that Balaram caught me doing something I shouldn't do. So the cowherd men, they were praising Krishna, that at the same time, it's all a little complex, you see. People are interested in psychology. There's a lot of devotees in our movement, some are very interested in psychology. Study this psychology better. Psychology of Krishna. So the cowherd men, on one hand, they were afraid that Krishna, you see, he's just a little young boy, and he's very tender. Young boys, they're very soft bodied. Whereas older men, if they become, they do lots of exercises and they become restless and they get big, strong, hard bodies. But when they're young, they're soft and chubby. So you can soft. And later on, and they, if they do lots of exercise, they become very hard. So they can punch someone. So the cowherd men are afraid. You see, he's just a young boy with such a soft body and he's holding up this big hill. But on the other hand, they saw actually he's very powerful. He's holding up the hill. So then they praised him for his power. So Krishna felt they were encouraging him. Oh yeah, you're so great. You're so powerful. But Krishna felt a little shy that my seniors are praising me. And then he saw Balaram was smiling. Actually, the reason he was smiling was because he was seeing, oh, these cowherd men, you see, they're afraid that Krishna, he might not be able to hold a hill because he's just a little boy. But Balaram thought, he's the Supreme Lord. He's holding up millions of universes. What is it for him to hold up a little hill? So that's why Balaram was smiling. So, but Krishna hung his head. Embarrassment, oh, I'm being praised in front of all these people. And also because it's mixed, because Krishna is doubting also that Balaram was. See, when the hill was shaking, the cowherd men were thinking, well, Krishna, you know, is he capable or is he not? He's holding it up, maybe he's getting a little tired. Maybe it's too much for him. But Balaram knew there's no problem. Krishna can hold it. So he didn't know the reason why Krishna's hand was trembling. But Krishna's hand was trembling because he was getting excited seeing the breasts of the gopis. So his love for the gopis was secret. But nevertheless, he took it otherwise. Or otherwise they may have thought that Krishna's putting his head down and that's why it's shaking. And there are various reasons often. All right. So, let's take a little break here. No, I'll read one more quality, then we'll take a break. One more quality. Sharanagata Palaka. He is the protector of the surrendered soul. It's a very nice name for Krishna, from our standpoint, because we're attempting to become surrendered souls. Dikka kale bhakta kare atta samarpan. Diksha, initiation, means surrendering oneself to Krishna. So Krishna protects such a devotee. Atasham upon Shekale Krishna Tare Kore Atasham. When one surrenders to Krishna through the process of initiation, then Krishna accepts that person as good as himself. So Krishna protects the surrendered souls. If someone attempts to harm his devotee, Krishna takes it as that this person is trying to harm me. or even more. Krishna may not even mind so much if someone attempts to harm Krishna, but if someone is attempting to harm his devotee, Krishna takes it very seriously. He doesn't like it at all. So, an example is given. There's no explanation given, but this is addressed towards the Shiva Jara, the fever which Lord Shiva sent as his ultimate weapon, high temperature, to attack Krishna. So, that is a personified fever. So, he's an offender because he's going to attack Krishna. But he's addressed, you are an offender, but you don't have to be afraid, because Krishna, if you just surrender to Krishna, then Krishna will forgive you. This term, Sharanagata Palaka, Bhakta Vatsala, and you can speak for hours and write thousands of books about it. Practically the whole identity of Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. That's we are hearing about his sweetness, but and his qualities, but all the qualities of Krishna, and all his sweetness, everything great about him, it needs a context. Otherwise, it's meaningless. Just like what's the use of a? There's one saying in Shastra, I believe it's quoted in Prabhupada's books. What's the use of a beautiful woman without a husband? He doesn't look very nice. A woman without a husband doesn't look very nice, however beautiful she may be. It's like a diamond has to be set in gold to become actually looking nice. So Krishna has so many qualities, but if there's no one to appreciate it, then what's the value? Or if quality means, compassionate means, you have to be compassionate towards someone. It's just like the Mayavadis say, you should just love. Just love what? It's just a general feeling of love. But love means towards people and not just general feeling of goodwill to all. Prabhupada blasted that Dr. Radha Krishna for interpreting anukul yasya sankalpa, as interpreting his goodwill to all. But that's, what is this goodwill to all? It's just non-specific feeling. But Krishna is specifically bhakta vatsala. He loves his devotees. He's specifically. We find in Bhagavata, the general principle is mentioned. Krishna protects his devotee. Krishna loves his devotee. He uplifts his devotees. But then we find specific instances. Ambarish Maharaj, Dhruv Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, specifically described. It's not just general, vague love, compassion, like all these Mayavadis. But specific, Krishna loves his devotees. Which devotees? Ambarish, Prahlad, Nanda Maharaj. So, we'll now, just to revive those who are feeling sleepy. And do a lot more. Praise Krishna. Through the words of another Acharya, Vallabhacharya, we can sing this Madhurashtakam, that's Bengali pronunciation. Madhurashtakam. 8 verses of glorification of Krishna and Krishna's sweetness. So, do you all have the sheets? Where are the sheets? Yeah. Alright, before we read it, before we sing it, let's read the translation. So we have some idea what we're singing about. Those who are from Indian backgrounds, they can understand a lot of the words here. It's an advantage of being born in India, one of the advantages. Of course, nowadays, many children, they grow up learning English as their main language in India. unfortunate for them. But many of these, we'll find in this Madhurashtakam the word Madhura, which means sweet or sweetness, repeated. So it's a description of Krishna and various aspects of Krishna that are sweet. So many of these words are known. Adhara means lips. That's not a word. Vadanam. People can understand that. Nayanam. Hridayam. Gamanam. These are all words known to people who speak Indian languages. Vacharam. Charitam. Vasanam. Chalitam. So here's the description. The first thing. Adharam. Madhura, his lips are sweet. Vadanam, his face is sweet. Nayanam, his eyes are sweet. Hasitam, his laughter. Here it says smile. Smile, laughter, sweet. Hridayam, his heart is sweet. That's important, isn't it? It's not just a show of sweetness, but from the very heart, Krishna is sweet. Gamanam, his movement, his gait, that's the right word. His gait is sweet. Gait, G-A-I-T. It means his method of moving, the way he walks. Just like you see some people, they walk like this.
Way of treading,
yeah. Huh?
Way of treading.
Way of?
Treading.
Way of treading, yeah. And you'll see that some people walk very gracefully, Srila Prabhupada, generally very gracefully like this. It's a reflection of the overall character, the way people, even the way they move. So Krishna's gait, his movements are very sweet. Madhuradi pater akilam madhura. It's translated here, everything is sweet about the original Lord of all sweetness. It seems that whoever translated this, they may have mixed up adhi, which means it's a prefix, which means just like the supreme or over. So they've mixed that up with adi, which means original. Just like Raj Adi Raj means the king of kings. So Krishna is the of all lords of sweetness, Krishna is the supreme lord of sweetness. There may be others, just like Ramchandra Bhagavan, he's also sweet. Vamana Dev is very sweet. Nrsimha Dev is very sweet. For those who have the eyes to see. But Krishna is the supreme lord of all sweetness. And I guess you could say original. Everything about him is sweet. Vachanam, his words are sweet. Charitam, his character is sweet. Vasanam, his clothing is sweet. Valitam, his question mark is sweet. It's given a question mark in the end. Valitam means his bentness. Bentness. He's Tribhanga Sundar, bent in three places. His bodily form is bent, crooked. So his crookedness. Krishna is very crooked. He's not straight. Nothing straightforward about him. Well, there is all. Krishna is completely straightforward and truthful. Krishna is the greatest in everything. So he's the most truthful person. He's also the greatest liar. Both things are true. Chalitam, it's similar to gait, I guess. His movements are sweet. That could be more broadly considered that his endeavors or his actions. Brahmitam, the way he wanders around. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. He wanders around in the forests on the bank of the Yamuna. So he's wandering around. That's very sweet. Everything is sweet about the original Lord of sweetness, of all sweetness. Vinur Madhuro, his flute is very sweet. Renu, the dust, particularly of his feet, is very sweet. Pani, his hand is sweet. Padaha, his foot or feet are sweet. Nrityam, his dancing. Sakyam, his friendship. These are all very sweet. Everything about Krishna is sweet. Gitam Madhuram, his singing is sweet. His Bhagavad Gita can also be it. His Bhagavad Gita is also very sweet. His instructions in this case. Pitam, his drinking is very sweet. Bhuktam, his eating is very sweet. His sleeping is sweet. Suktam. Rupam, his form, his beauty is very sweet. Tilakam. His tilak. That's also very sweet. Everything is very sweet about Krishna. Karanam, here it's translated as activities, are sweet. Taranam, his acts of deliverance are sweet. Haranam, his stealing is sweet. Ramanam, his romance is sweet. His pleasure, his romantic pleasure is very sweet. Vamitam, his yawning is sweet. How about that? Everything. Everything means everything. His yawning is sweet. Shamitam, his chastisement is sweet. We may not always see that. Everything is sweet in Krishna. Gunja Madhura, his gunja berries, his little red berries. Mala Madhura, his garland, is very sweet. His Yamuna is very sweet. And the waves of the Yamuna are also very sweet. Salila, water. Water is very sweet. Kamalam, the lotus, is very sweet. Everything about Krishna is very sweet. What about the gopis? They're also sweet. And his leela, his pastimes are very sweet. Yuktam, his, what does it say here? His union with the gopis is sweet. Yuktam can mean many things. Can mean his plans also. Bhuktam, again, eating. His eating is very sweet, or it could be in this context his enjoyment of the gopis. Krishnam Madhuram, his delight is very sweet. Shlishtam, his embracing the gopis or anyone is very sweet. Everything about Krishna is sweet, sweet, sweet. The cowherd boys are also sweet. The cows are sweet. His stick for herding the cows, that's also very sweet. His srishti, his creation, is also very sweet. What about that? Well, if we have the eyes to see it, we can see his creation is also very sweet. Udalitam, what does that mean? The result. Killing the demons. Is that old? Is that O Dalita? I think that O is maybe, it must be just Dalita. O, I think that O is a misprint. Dalita means crushing. Dalita Hiranyakashipu. Remember that? Usually the devotee sings Dalita. You sing Dalita, it means they converted Hiranyakashipu to a woman. So it's not so laudable for Krishna to kill a woman. Dalita Hiranyaka. So, yeah, that's. If you have a pen, you can cross that out. It's not O Dalita, it should be Dalita. As far as my limited knowledge of Sanskrit goes. Dalitam Madhuram. Phalitam, his fruits are sweet. And here it's translated the result of his killing the demons. Everything about Krishna is sweet. So let's sing this sweet song in praise of Krishna. And when I've finished, I'll give you a signal, and then you please chant Hare Krishna. And I'll go outside and come back, and then we'll discuss more. I hope you have lots of patience for listening. We'll go on and read some more about qualities of Krishna.